Exodus chapter 9, and we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 35. Exodus 9, and beginning in verse 1, these are the words of our God. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, Thus saith the Lord, God of the Hebrews, Let my people go that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go and wilt hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children's of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died. But of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, Take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beasts throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go? Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven. And the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. And Moses said unto him, As soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad mine hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God. And the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bold. But the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up. And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread abroad his hands unto the Lord. And the thunders and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. And those are God's words. Here in chapter 9, we continue with the 10 plagues, and here we start with the fifth plague through verse 7, the disease upon Egypt's livestock, and yet again showing forth the distinction between those who are God's people, Israel's livestock is spared, and those who are not God's people, Egypt's livestock was destroyed. And then through verse 12, the sixth plague of the boils upon man and animals. And the same is true. The distinction between God's people not being not receiving this plague and those who are not God's people, Egypt, receiving this plague. And this plague is intensified in Revelation 16. It says there, And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. And here, as we are reminded of that, we see the Egyptians still worshipping their god, Pharaoh. And this is a reminder that the plagues against Egypt are a foreshadowing of the last days of judgment that the Lord will bring upon the ungodly. And the question for us is, are you one of those number of the ungodly? Then you can be sure of what awaits you if you are. Today you are freely offered deliverance from such plagues, much worse than what we read here in Exodus 9. And you can have that deliverance freely offered to you in Jesus Christ alone. Then the seventh plague in the rest of the passage, of which through verse 21, there is first a warning given of the great hail mixed with fire. In verse 20 it says, He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field, of course, and those were destroyed. And through verse 26, as the hail is sent, and everything outside was decimated. In Revelation 16 again, it says, And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices, and thunders, and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake, and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of His wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Beloved, in the day of judgment, there is no escaping. like there is in Exodus 9. There is no running inside to get away from the judgments of the Lord. And so you're called again to flee to the Lord today before it is too late. And what does fleeing to the Lord look like? This is important as we will hear the sermon today. What does fleeing to the Lord look like? Some here of you might say, it looks like confessing your sin, declaring the Lord to be righteous, confessing yourself to be wicked, and pleading the deliverance for His deliverance, the Lord delivering you from His judgments. And beloved, verse 27 and 28, we see that's exactly what Pharaoh did. That's what Pharaoh did. He had one goal: escape these judgments. And then he broke his word once again to not let Israel go. Beloved, yes, you are to come confessing your sin truly from your heart, because you know that in your heart you are wicked, and you are. And yes, confess the Lord is alone righteous. Jesus is righteous. And certainly plead for the Lord to deliver you from the eternal judgments and temporal judgments of today. But beloved, we must also, in our faith and love for the Lord, fear Him. And that also looks like submitting to Him in all things. There must be, by His grace, a fear of the Lord, a love for the Lord, and a knowing of Him. That close communion, like we have pictured in marriage. Come and know Jesus Christ. Commune with Him, and He will receive you. And that's the promise of our God. Let's pray. Our Father, we give You praise. We're thankful for Your Word. We are thankful that You remind us over and over and over again to flee unto You, because we often flee away from You. And we sin against You, and we break Your commandments. And so, Father, we pray that You would draw us back unto Yourself by Your Holy Spirit. That You would call us to Yourself, even through the reading and preaching of Your Word. That You would not stop calling us. That You would not stop sending Your Holy Spirit unto us. But that You would pour out Your Holy Spirit. We plead today that You would pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us in power. And You would do so upon this land and this nation, and upon, of course, the Church of Jesus Christ. For we need Your Holy Spirit. For without the great Comforter and the great Counselor and Guide, we are as nothing, and we can do nothing good, even if we do not have the Spirit of Christ. For we know Your Word says, apart from Me, Jesus says, apart from Me, you can do nothing. And certainly it is true that we can do nothing apart from Christ. And so, Father, we plead for Him that You would pour out Your Spirit into our hearts. You would call us to Yourself through Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that You would give us that fear of the Lord, that affectionate reverence for You, where we are humbled before Your throne and stand in awe of Your goodness and mercy and grace to us in Christ Your Son. May it be true that everyone here fears the Lord, and that we know the beginning of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That You would give us wisdom and understanding as Solomon asked for. We pray that You would grant such to us as well. Understanding, knowledge, wisdom. That we might not go after the ways of the world, to search out the world's ways to find wisdom. But that we would meditate upon the law day and night, and there find wisdom. There find Your Son, Jesus Christ, who is wisdom. And that we would follow after Him. Our righteousness. We're thankful for the gospel and His blood spilled, His body given. We ask that You would cause us to trust in His righteousness for us, trust in His death for us, and trust in His resurrection for us. And that we would submit unto You in all things. Father, we do pray for our nation. We plead that You would turn our nation back to You. Turn our nation from its sins, its rebellion, and cause this nation to covenant with Christ Your Son, to promise that Christ would be King of the United States. And that we, as a nation, would submit unto Him. And the leaders, the governors, the congressmen, the president, all would bow the knee unto Christ, the Lord of Lords. If we used our language, we could say President of Presidents and Congressman of, or Congressman of Congressmen. He is the head, and He is the King. And so, Father, we pray that we would give our hearts unto You, and our nation's leaders, even at the local, all the way down to the local level, they would bow the knee, and they would rule according to Your word, and rule that the church would spread the gospel message, and that the word would go forth, lest in our day and soon more judgments come. And Father, those judgments we'll study today. We pray that You give us discernment about them, to understand the meaning of lesser judgments and greater judgments, even that You bring upon this nation and already have, or upon the church. Help us to understand the rod of correction. And remember what we heard in the call to worship, that You will not take Your loving kindness utterly away from Your people. That there is a remnant. And so, Father, we pray that we would be, by Your grace alone, we would be part of that remnant, if it be Your will. And You would rescue us from the eternal torments and the great judgments that await the wicked. We pray that we would be not numbered upon with the wicked, but with the righteous, with Your Son, Jesus Christ, in union with Him, that You would see us for His sake and not that we would stand on our own. Or again, apart from Him, apart from Me, He says, we can do nothing, and we are nothing, and we will come to ruin apart from Him. So, Father, we also pray that You would sanctify us and cleanse us, that we would put to death the sin that remains within us. But not only our souls, but our bodies, that You would cleanse us and make us healthy. Those who are struggling in body, that You would uplift them. Heal those who are sick, like Boaz and any others. You would be with Larry and Patricia, who are a way that You would give them safety in their travels and blessing in their time with family and their children and grandchildren. And they would be reminded today of the gospel. You would give them a place to worship with Your people. And Father, we ask that You would be with us. Comfort us in Your Son, Jesus Christ. We also consider this morning the great tragedy that has happened in San Diego and the death of a pastor there, a young man. Father, we ask that You would be with his family. We are thankful, at least that I have heard that from other pastors who have gone there, and we ask that You'd be with those pastors and give them wisdom and the Holy Spirit, the great counselor, that they have heard and they have relayed the message that his wife is looking to Christ. And pray for the children. We're thankful they're in the custody again of grandparents and not the state. And what a blessing that is to know. And be with that congregation as they worship. I'm sure later this morning. Be with the minister as well who has to preach. Probably a very difficult sermon. And pray that it would be a sermon of hope in Christ and trust in the sovereignty of God. For all these things, Father, we plead that your will would be done. You would show grace and mercy to your elect, even those who are in the womb, and that you would grant to us joy in Christ, even joy, as your scriptures say, joy in the Holy Spirit. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.